Currently, Hamas and terrorist organizations are holding approximately 230 to 240 Israeli hostages. And Israel has taken the position that it is not officially negotiating a hostage release. What's going on behind the scenes is not known to me. There have been prisoner exchanges since the creation of the State of Israel, dating from the War of Independence. On November 23, 1983, six soldiers who were captured in 1982 in Lebanon were released in exchange for 4,765 Palestinian and Lebanese imprisoned during the 1982 Lebanon War, and 65 Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. In 1984, Israel swapped 291 Syrian prisoners and bodies of 72 others in exchange for six Israeli prisoners and five bodies. On May 21, 1984, the Jibril Agreement took place, whereby two soldiers who were captured in 1982 in Lebanon and a third IDF prisoner were released for 1,150 Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. Among the prisoners released were Kozo Okamoto. He was one of the perpetrators of the Lod Airport massacre in May of 1972, who was serving a life sentence, and Ahmed Yassin, the spiritual leader of Hamas, who was sentenced to 13 years imprisonment in 1983. In 2004, over 400 Palestinian and 30 Lebanese prisoners, including Hezbollah leaders, were exchanged for the bodies of three IDF soldiers captured in 2000 and Elchanan Tannenbaum, an Israeli citizen kidnapped in Kuwait. In 2008, the bodies of Ehud Goldwasser and Eldad Regev, who were captured in 2006, were exchanged for Samir Kuntar and four Hezbollah fighters and the remains of 199 Hezbollah terrorists. Kuntar had been convicted for his role in a 1979 attack, which resulted in the deaths of four Israelis, including two small children. On October 18, 2011, Gilad Shalit, who was captured by Hamas in 2006, was released in exchange for 1,027 Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. What does Halacha have to say about releasing prisoners in exchange for its own citizens? What does Halacha have to say about freeing hostages in exchange for freeing terrorists, in exchange for money, in exchange for weapons? So the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, tells us that even though the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, of redeeming captives, is a very important mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of the highest level, yet in Podim Es HaShvuyim Yesher Al Kedei Demehem Bnei Tikkun Olam, we don't redeem for more than the captive is worth. In those days, when the Mishnah was written, there was a slave trade, and you could purchase slaves. So Mishnah is telling us that we would not redeem a captive for more than their quote unquote fair market value as a slave because of Tikkun Olam. Now, what's Tikkun Olam? The Gemara has two different explanations. One explanation is that it will overburden the community. It's duchka de. It's a financial burden on the community. But another explanation is mishum de lo ligruhu velai sutfei, that it may encourage future hostage taking. And it's inclusive from the Gemara as to whether which reason is accepted. The Shulchan Aruch paskens like the second reason. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh Nun Beis, Seif Dalet, states that we don't redeem captives more than their fair market value. Mipnei tikkun olam shel yehu ha'oivim mostrim atzma lishavosam. That the concern of additional hostage taking or additional taking of captives. However, there's a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, which tells a story that seems to tell us that we can pay more than fair market value for a captive. The Gemara tells a story of Rav Shua ben Chananya, who went to a big city in Rome, and he sees that there's a child in jail, and he started a pasuk. He went up to the child who was in jail, and he started a pasuk. He said, "Misan nasalim shisa Yaakov v'Yisrael levozazim," and the child responded, "Halo Hashem zu chatanu lo v'lo avu bitrachov halo v'lo shamu b'torato." So he completed the pasuk, and Rav Shua ben Chananya said, "Ah, muftachani bo shemor harabi Yisrael. I know that this child is going to be a great teacher among Klal Yisrael." And the Gemara goes on to say that he redeemed the child for a lot of money, And eventually this child became a great Torah scholar, and his name was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. And Tosfos asks, how could Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya redeem him when the Mishnah in Gittin says we don't pay more than fair market value to redeem someone? So there are actually two Tosfos, one Tosfos in Memhei Amud Aleph and Gittin, and one Tosfos in Nunches Amud Aleph. And together, there are essentially three reasons that are given from both of these Tosfos as to why Rav Shmuel ben Chananya overpaid for the captive. So number one is that there's an exception if you're a Torah genius, if you're muflag, but b'chachma. A second reason in Tosfos is that it was times of the Churban Abayas, so there was no concern of encouraging the more captives because they were trying to capture us anyway, to take as many Jewish captives in any case. So this would not, paying an exorbitant amount would not increase the likelihood of taking more captives. And a third reason that's brought down in Tosfos is that when there's sakanos nefashos, when the person is not simply taken captive, but when there's an imminent danger to the person's life, so then you can pay more than fair market value. Now the Shulchan Aruch follows one of these three reasons. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that for a Talmud Chacham, or for someone who is a Talmud Harif, Afshar Shia Adam Gadol, someone who's a sharp student, and it's possible he's going to become an Adam Gadol, a great person, a great scholar, then you can redeem him for an exorbitant amount of money. That being said, the Piskei Tosfos in Gittin provides the reason also that you can pay more than fair market value if there is an imminent danger to the person's life. And indeed, the Marshal in the Yamshel Shlomo in Meseches Gittin, Perek Dalad, Simon Samach Vav, he tells a story of these people in Tugarma and who pay more than fair market value. And gives the reason of that there's a concern of imminent danger as well. So that reason seems to also come into play as well. And here he explains that the Maharami Rotenberg, he was the Gadol Hador in Ashkenaz in the 13th century, when he was taken captive, so his prize student, the Rush, was able to raise enough funds to release him, to redeem him. But the Maharam did not want to be redeemed, even though he was a Muflag Batorah. He seemed to fit into that exception. Perhaps the concern was that the captives then, if they pay a lot of money to free the Maharami Rutenberg, then other individuals would now specifically go after Torah leaders because they know they can get a really good price for them. And maybe the story of Shua ben Chananya, where he paid more for this kid, is that they didn't realize that he was a muflag batorah. But if the captives realize that you're paying a tremendous amount of money for people who are muflag batorah, who are Torah scholars, then they're going to go after great Torah scholars. So the Maharami Rutenberg famously died in prison, and they weren't able to redeem him or even to recover his body until 7 years after he passed away. So in sum, it seems that in a normal case where someone is taken captive, that you shouldn't overpay because it will encourage more kidnappings. But if the situation is where you know it will not encourage more kidnappings, or potentially when there's an imminent danger towards that person, so possibly you are allowed to overpay, possibly. So the question is wartime any different? So Rabbi Avad Yosef wrote a long piece in volume 19 of Torah Shebaal Peh, and he cites the Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi where basically there was someone taken captive, and one Amora said, okay, prepare the shrouds, and Reish Lakish said, no, I'm going to go save him. And he said, either I'll be killed or my enemy's going to be killed. And he went to save him. The question is, do you have to put yourself in potential danger, because he was going to try to free this person who was taken captive, in order to save someone else? Now, the Hagos Mamano says, yes, that the Yerushalmi proves that I have to put myself in a suffix sakana, a potentially dangerous situation, to save someone who will definitely be harmed if I don't do anything. However, the classic poskim don't quote this Yerushalmi. And the Sma writes that obviously we don't We don't hold like this Yerushalmi. However, Ravadi Yosef in this article writes that it's true. You don't have to put yourself in suffix sakana in a doubtful situation of danger to save someone's life, but you should save someone who will definitely die, even if it might create a suffix sakana for someone else. In other words, Ravadi Yosef would be in favor of releasing a lot of prisoners that might, in the future, engage in acts of terror against Jews, even to free one Jewish prisoner who, if he's not free, then he will likely die. Because Rav Ovadia Yosef would say that you should save hostages from a certain death, even if it means releasing terrorists who may potentially cause harm in the future. In other words, he holds that a suffix sakana doesn't win out over a vaday sakana. Even the suffix sakana for many people doesn't win out for the vaday sakana for one person. You can save one person and who will die if you don't redeem him. That wins out even if you're potentially putting more terrorists on the street that could engage in acts of terror. It seems that he's the minority view. Not everyone holds like him, but it's an important position. Rav Shaul Yisraeli has an interesting theory. In Tshuvos Chavos Ben Yamin Chelek Alek Simon Tes Zayin, he essentially says that there's another exception that the Shulchan Aruch writes, that it's true that the community is not obligated to overpay to redeem a captive, but you can overpay for yourself. If I have a lot of money, so I have the right to overpay to free myself. The community cannot, because then by doing that, they might encourage perhaps more kidnappings, but an individual has every right to pay whatever he wants to redeem himself. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Resh Nun Beis Seif Dalet. So based on this, Rav Shaul Yisraeli says that just like a person can redeem himself for any amount, so too he can buy insurance. Apparently there's something called kidnapping insurance, that you can pay money that if you get kidnapped, then the insurance company will redeem you. Again, I don't know the details of how kidnapping insurance works, but I think there is something called kidnapping insurance. And Rav Shaul Yisraeli says that when a soldier goes to war, he's going to war with the presumption that the state will do all that it can to redeem that person. So it's essentially he's arguing that the state can release many prisoners, or perhaps in order to redeem this one soldier. They can overpay for this one soldier because this one soldier, by going to war on behalf of the state of Israel, is in effect paying a premium such that the state is the insurance policy. They'll do whatever they can in order to free this person, even if it's quote unquote overpaying for him. He does write that it's muvenet me'eleha shekol tatzdikei sheyesh bidei ha'medina lasot bigvulot sfirim she'enam pogim bebitchona klali kedei liftotam b'mikra sheyiplu b'shevi, that it's understood that all methods that the state has to do that are reasonable, that do not harm its overall security, in order to redeem a soldier in case he is taken captive, so then they have to do that. Now again, if perhaps they release many prisoners, so are they compromising their security? So at some point, are they compromising their security? So maybe that's an open question. But the Chavos Ben Yamin of Shaul Yisraeli says that there is this implicit obligation the state has to free its soldiers. Under most circumstances, because it's like an insurance policy, and they would have to overpay in order to free this soldier. On the flip side, Rav Shachter in Be'ikvei Tzon, Siman Lamed Beis, tells a story that took place in 1970. A TWA flight carrying of Yitzchak Kuttner was hijacked. Rosh Yeshiva of Chai Berlin. There was a prominent student who wanted to ransom Rav Huttner for a large sum of money. Now, he is a Chacham Muflag, so presumably he is someone who maybe there's an exception. You can overpay for him. However, Yaakov Kamenetsky ruled that even though he is a Muflag B'Chachma, He said, you're not allowed to redeem him. Why? Because this whole discussion is not relevant during wartime. And he writes that the Kol Hachdina Depinyan Shvuyim Leisa Ela Bishas Shalom. This whole discussion of redeeming captives only applies in times of peace. Ela Bishas Milcham. In times of war, Yev Shalom Arshim Mechuyim Lahafsik Milchom Almanas Liftos as a Shvuyim B'mamon. You can't say that you're obligated to stop fighting in order to redeem captives for money. By giving the enemy money, you are helping them in battle. By giving them money, they can buy more arms, and they will help them win the war. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky assumed that he considered the fight against terror in Israel to be a continuation of the War of Independence in the Six-Day War, and therefore you can't do anything to strengthen the hand of the enemy. And presumably, releasing terrorists then would also be considered strengthening the hands of the enemy, so he probably would not be in favor of releasing terrorists to free hostages. It turned out that at the end of the day, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Baruch Hashem, was released after that hijacking. But Rav Kamenetsky thinks that in times of war, you would not be allowed to do so. After the Jibril Agreement, so there's a big halachic discussion as to whether the government acted correctly or not. Rav Goren wrote an article in Hatzofet, 1985, and he was against the Jibril deal, where Israel released many, many prisoners for a few Israeli soldiers. And he writes that we don't pay more for a captive than their fair market value. And even though Tosfos says that when there's an imminent danger, we're willing to pay more, the Ramban and the Rashba disagree with Tosfos. And also, he points out that all captivity in ancient times was dangerous. And still, the Mishnah says you don't pay more than the captive's value because this will encourage the kidnapper to kidnap more Jews and endanger the public. And he says that, and he also, Rav Goren says, by freeing terrorists, you're definitely endangering the public because they'll all be free to attack Israel in the future. However, Rav Chaim David Halevi, chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, argued that the government acted correctly. He writes this in Aseh Lecha Rav, Perek Zayin, Siman Nun Gimel, and he wants to argue that nowadays that the Metzius is that the reality is that they're not able to take captives. If they would, they would continue taking captives, regardless of whether we overpay, quote unquote, for releasing captives, hostages or not. They're always going to try, and thank God we're for the most part successful not in preventing them from taking our people captive. So he thinks they're going to still continue to try to kidnap Jews regardless of what we do. That's number one. And then he makes another argument. And he says, you're saying that if we free, let's say, terrorists who are in prison, there's a likelihood they're going to attack more and kill more Jews, and therefore it's harmful to Jewish society by releasing some terrorist prisoners in exchange for getting our soldiers back. He says the opposite. He says that if a soldier sees that the state, that the government has decided that the state will not redeem Israeli soldiers for a high price, then he writes that the morale of the Israeli soldier will be weakened. And he says that, and that's a very important point, that he says that Chayal Yodea Shim Yipol Bashevi, that a soldier knows that if he is taken captive, B'dat Yisrael Kula Nitzavet Me'acharav L'Shachro, that the state of Israel is going to stand to free him, Yimsor Nafsho Bishat Krav Lo Pachon Amora. He's going to go full force, willing to sacrifice his life at times of battle without any fear whatsoever, knowing if he's taken captive, the state of Israel is going to do everything it can to free him. Achim Yufal Hadin Shein Podim Shvuyim Yeshal Kedei Demeim. That if you don't pay, if we follow the rule that you're not going to pay like a high price to free let's say an Israeli soldier is taken captive. Gam b'mikra zeh b'asher chayolim nishlachim yishlichu tamah lemelchama. That when the soldiers are sent to battle, as minastam yomar kol chayav libo, then you know what a soldier is going to say in his heart? Mutav lasegev v'lipol b'sheva. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to retreat rather than advance. Because I know if I advance, there's a good chance I'll be taken captive. And the state's not going to do all it can to free me. So the soldier will prefer retreat over capture. So if we're talking what's good for the country, what's going to make a safer country, Rav Chaim David Halevi is arguing that actually being willing to pay an exorbitant price for a soldier is actually good for the country because it raises the morale of your average soldier. So this is obviously a very challenging halachic dilemma about freeing hostages in exchange for freeing terrorists, for giving money to the enemy, for giving them weapons. It seems to me that there are both halachic and factual considerations. There are halachic considerations. Number one, we have poskim like Rav Avadya Yosef, who says imminent danger is a factor and it wins out over suffix sakana. So even though it's possible that if you release a terrorist, that it may then, you know, plan terror attacks against Jews, but that's only a doubt. And right now you have Bifonenu in front of us, a Jew who will die if we don't free him. So you're allowed to overpay in order to free him. And then we had the Rav Shol Yisraeli argument that there's an obligation that the state has, that they are like the insurance policy for the soldier, that he is going to fight for his country. That's like paying the premium for insurance policy, that the state will do what it can to free the Jew if he's taken captive. But then there might simply be a factual question, which is, in times of war, is this good for the state or bad for the state? Does it help the state of Israel, big picture, or does it harm it? In other words, you want to win the war and you want to support soldiers, you want to defeat your enemies. So the question is, will the prisoner exchange make us more safe or less safe? Will it encourage more kidnappings? Or factually, they try to kidnap us in any case and it won't make a difference if we overpay or don't overpay to free hostages. And by giving the enemy money, by placing terrorist prisoners back on the streets, the question is, will that create a greater security threat? And in fact, many who are put back in the streets do kill again. But on the flip side, by being willing to do all that you can to free the soldier, to free the soldiers, it increases the morale of the Israeli soldiers. It creates a stronger army. And maybe we should take that into consideration. So again, it's hard to know exactly. It's a very difficult, complex topic. We obviously hope and pray for the release of all the hostages. But this is a tricky issue, and they're both halachic questions, and they're also factual questions, which will likely determine what steps should be taken to free hostages. And the reason why it's so complex and so difficult is that not only are there difficult halachic questions, but there are also factual questions as whether this is good for the state or not good for the state. And we hope and pray for the freedom of all our hostages.